From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. We'll have open lines for you this hour. I'll give you the numbers in just a moment. Next hour, Colm Kelleher, researcher and journalist George Knapp, with an incredible story of bizarre events at a Utah ranch. George, by the way, was one of those who reported on Area 51 many years ago. We'll chat with him about that as well. It's going to be a fascinating coast-to-coast program for you. By the way, we have been reading your emails all day. Remember last night on the program where I asked you to send me the names of three people who are not skeptics that you would like to battle in the skeptics' cage? Dr. Michael Shermer, who's agreed to a debate, he's going to take them all on one-on-one. What we've decided to do is pick the three top guests that you have recommended to us, and we're still tabulating all that. And then one per hour will go into the cage, two will enter, one comes out, to battle Dr. Michael Shermer, the skeptic, who presented some interesting cases and arguments last night. I will give him credit for that. Here's some of the stories of the day. Well, the presence of the International Atomic Energy Agency inspectors in Iran has witnessed Iran unsealing uranium enrichment equipment that the UN agency had blocked from use because the republic was in violation of nuclear non-proliferation rules. The return to its nuclear program at its plant in Natanz angered the United States and European officials, who say Iran is resuming nuclear research that they believe is part of an effort to build nuclear weapons. Iran's move, they say, is serious escalation. Here it is. We're heading for a standoff. And they simply say that if it continues to defy world opinion, the UN Security Council will have no choice but to impose sanctions. Just what those sanctions may be, I do not know, but I have predicted on the program that military intervention may be the only major alternative here. So let's just watch what happens. They say that within months now, Iran will have the capability of a nuclear weapon. That's your clock. Watch it. It'll happen before that. A confidential memo from federal officials warning Border Patrol agents that they could be targets of assassins hired by the smugglers of illegal aliens, according to the Associated Press. The alert issued by the Department of Homeland Security notes that illegal aliens have become increasingly annoyed by recent efforts to tighten the southern border of the United States. As earlier reported on WorldNetDaily.com, the memo dated December 21st states smugglers plan to bring members of the MS-13 gang into the United States to target the border agents. Aliens from El Salvador began MS-13 in Los Angeles, but also a presence in Central America. The gang has been linked to Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations, and members have been known to behead victims and attack with grenades and machetes. Federal officials estimate in this country between 8 and 10,000 MS-13 members live in 31 states, the majority of them in the country illegally. Some 103 suspected members of the gang were rounded up during a seven-city operation in March. General Motors Corporation, whose U.S. sales fell 4.3%, and they are on tough times right now, said it will cut the prices on about 80% of its cars and trucks, some $2,500 per car per truck. What will happen in the future with General Motors? We do not know, but they say that this is a good idea. It has a 26.2% U.S. market share as of last year. That's the lowest in 80 years for General Motors. Toyota and other Asian automakers gained a record 36.5% share. In Texas, investigators in Dallas are trying to determine just what the heck is going on with the water in the Trinity River. It's turning reddish-orange twice in 1 week. The Environmental Protection Agency in Texas has reassured everyone that the drinking water is safe. I'm not sure I would take a drink yet. LSD is an unlikely subject for a 100th birthday party, yet the Swiss chemist who discovered the mind-altering drug and was its first human guinea pig is celebrating his birthday on Wednesday in good health and with plans to attend an international seminar on the drug. 100 years old. He said, "I had wonderful visions," said Albert Hoffman, recalling his first accidental consumption of the drug. He said he produced it as a medicine. He said, "It's not my fault if people abused it." The chemist, who still takes nearly daily walks in the picturesque village where he lives in Switzerland, discovered in 1938 this while studying the medicinal uses of a fungus found on wheat and other grains. The chemist experimented with a larger dose 3 days later. The result, he said, was a horror trip. His surroundings turned into a threatening image, and a neighbor he looked at was transformed into a wicked witch. In Ohio, the Hamilton County coroner says a body found in a Madisonville home last week had been in that home for 2.5 years. In a Monday news conference, Dr. Odell Owen said the body of a 61-year-old woman, Johannes Pope, sat in an easy chair in the upstairs of a home, watching television. The body was there, along with Pope's caregiver and a 3-year-old granddaughter. According to Dr. Owens, the caregiver left the air conditioning running on the second floor of the home, allowing the body to slowly decay and mummify. Dr. Owens says the deceased believed when she died, she would come back to life, and her caregiver wanted to honor that wish. The cause of death is still undetermined. And a very nice email in from Douglas Hagman of the Northeast Intelligence Network. You know, Douglas is the one we turn to for information on terrorism. He said, "George, I'd like to thank everyone concerned over my sudden and unexpected illness last week and provide a short update as well. I'm convinced that it was because of the tremendous outpouring of prayers and support by the listeners of Coast to Coast, the best audience in the world, that I'm able to write this today. During a court hearing last Wednesday, I was stricken with chest pains and collapsed. I was taken by ambulance to the hospital where they found that my heart rate was stuck above 140 beats a minute, my blood pressure morbidly high, and my EKG was abnormal. It took a number of attempts in the emergency room to lower my heart rate and stabilize my vitals. The attending physicians were nearly certain that I had suffered a heart attack. After tests were conducted, it was discovered that although I did not have a heart attack, two of my coronary arteries were significantly blocked, and I was in acute congestive heart failure. I underwent an emergency heart catheterization, and I had a stent inserted into one of my arteries, missing bypass surgery by the narrowest of margins. I was released from the hospital last weekend. Thanks to the great work of doctors, I'm on my way to a full recovery. Thanks to you and everyone at Coast to Coast for the outpouring of prayers and support that I've received, my recovery is proceeding much quicker than expected. Without a doubt, the Coast to Coast audience is the greatest in the world. With heartfelt thanks, Douglas Hagman." Here are the phone numbers, because we have open lines for you this hour. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is open for you right now at 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome to the open line portion of Coast to Coast this hour. Let's pick it up by going to our West of the Rockies line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George. Nate calling from KNST, Tucson, Arizona.
Hey, Nate. How are you tonight?
Better than I deserve. I got through.
Good for you. What's up?
Hey, I really want to let you guys know that everybody listening, that, you know, some of the subjects on the show can, you know, it'd be so far-fetched that it's hard to believe and grasp in your mind. However, I had an experience with a girl back in high school who, she could astral project. I guess that would be, you know, transporting your soul out of your body, or maybe even psychically visualizing, you know, things in people's places or whatnot. But long story short, George, here's what happened.
Okay.
She was able to describe the entire contents of my house to me, and some of the stuff that I couldn't even understand until weeks later. And it just blew my mind. And then, you know, then I said, well, I'm going to put her through a series of tests. And one of the tests was I picked a time, a place, and a person that I was going to be speaking to and what I was going to be speaking about. And at the end of the day, I called her up and says, okay, can you name the time, the place, and the person? She actually did this. And it got spookier and spookier. And I need to let people know that some of the subjects, quite a bit of it, you guys got to realize a lot of this can be very real.
Indeed. Now, let me ask you, how do you know she wasn't remote viewing as opposed to astral projection? And the difference is, in a remote viewing, she's actually awake and concentrating. In an astral projection, chances are it's happening in a very relaxed state, maybe before she goes to bed.
You know what? I forgot to mention, she was on the phone with me at the same time. What had happened was one incident where I said, okay, can you describe my room to me? And my cousin was actually oversleeping on the couch. And, you know, I had a little guest couch in my room. And she says, I'm standing on something bright orange. And that, you know, I'm looking around, and it was an afghan that my grandmother had wove or knitted together that my cousin was using to cover up. And he's snoring away. And, you know, and I said, oh, my God. And I says, you know, you're standing on my cousin. And she says, and she's startled on the phone. And at the same time, she says, oh, no. At that point, the next thing I know, my cousin gets up and he walks over and kicks me in the shin and says, quit kicking me. And he goes back to bed. and I'm just baffled by the whole thing. So the whole time I'm on the phone with her, she's actually doing this.
Yeah, to me, it's a remote viewing, no doubt. Thanks for the call. She's got the gift. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, is this me?
This is you.
Hi, this is John. I'm calling from Buffalo, WBEN.
Oh, sure thing. Monster Station up there, John. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I understood that you were going to be doing a show on staph infections.
And, as a matter of fact, I am convinced that this episode is so dangerous, so serious, and none of the major media is touching on it. We're working on doing a program on this, John. As a matter of fact, a friend of St. Louis died yesterday. St. Louis Rams football announcer Jack Snow. A friend of mine died a year and a half or so ago, Buzz Westfault, who is the elected county official in St. Louis, of the same thing. And now I'm told that a number of the St. Louis Rams football team over the last couple of years have gotten some kind of strange staph infection. Fortunately, they are okay. This is a very dangerous situation.
Yeah, you know, you could add Jim Henson to that list.
Yes.
And also there was a player for the Buffalo Bills who used to be with, I believe, the Rams, Leonard Smith, who actually missed the Bills for a Super Bowl because of it. And I've got it.
Oh, you've got it?
Yeah.
What happened? Tell me about this.
Well, it's been what you could call a life-changing event, not for the positive. I got it about 6 years ago and started just with like flu-like symptoms. I was working in just a company in a kind of a cube environment, you know, with computers and stuff, and no particular environmental reason to get it that I could put my fingers on it. And within 2 days, I was in the hospital and had a really bad infection in my leg and was, you know, feverish to the point of being, you know, hallucinatory. And they tried a number of antibiotics on it that didn't work. And it turns out that I had something that they called a VRSA infection, which is vancomycin resistant. And it was a staph infection that's resistant to vancomycin. And vancomycin is like the antibiotic of last resort.
Yeah, that's supposed to be the god of the antibiotics, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you don't take it by tablet or anything. You get it only by IV, and it's like battery acid.
They want that to get in there right away.
And if that doesn't do it, there's not really an alternative. And the vancomycin-resistant infection that I had, it doesn't mean that it didn't work. It meant that it just was a long haul. I wound up being on vancomycin for about a month and a half, I guess, the first time. My leg was essentially like a third-degree burn.
I got to tell you, John, you're lucky it didn't get into your spine, because apparently once it hits that area, you're almost finished.
Well, they were within hours of taking my leg.
Oh, my God.
Because it just kept moving forward and forward. They were coming in several times an hour and just marking on my leg where the infection was and, you know, marking the progression of it. And
that's scary.
It was, you know, and as a result, I lost a lot of the feeling in my leg, lost the nerves, my lymph glands don't work in it, so it fills up with lymphatic fluid, and I wanted to get a disability retirement.
Now, have you been able to rid yourself of the infection, or does it keep coming back?
It's recurrent.
Not good.
I had a couple years where I really didn't have too much trouble with it, except that, you know, I'd have to take medication all the time.
You see, this is a story to me. This is a bigger story. This is a much more dangerous infection than any disease you can get with the bird flu. Yet, you know, they blow the bird flu out of proportion. This is going on right now in the United States, and it's happening to a lot of people all over the place.
Well, you know, with apologies to the under 100 people who've died from bird flu, but I mean, you know, a million people are going to die this year from AIDS. You know, I mean,
I understand.
It's like time for a reality check.
Hey, John, do me a favor. Make sure you call in when we have our program, the date of which I do not know yet. We're still trying to find the right doctors to put together on this.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I could even possibly talk to your producer and give him a doctor or two as an idea.
Okay, we'll do that. I'll put you on hold. Keep fighting the good fight. I mean, you are on the mother of all antibiotics, and if that's not working, I don't know what will. Hopefully your body eventually will take over and do what it does. So, Tommy, you take care of that call, and you get some more numbers and information. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air. Hi there.
Is that me?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yes, George. I was wondering if you guys ever found out whatever happened with those exploding toads.
Linda Moulton Howe was checking into that, some people... And she was talking about the possibility of some fungus, mushrooms, just about anything that these toads might have eaten, but nothing definitive other than these things were simply blowing up, and we haven't heard of this happening again. I'm wondering if it's seasonal, but it was a strange story.
I don't know. I just thought that was really, really weird.
It is.
Do you know if they ever found out whatever was that rust stuff that was falling down in Chicago?
No, but strangely enough, near Dallas, Texas, in the Trinity River, we've got reddish-orange water. I'm wondering if it's the same thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking some type of chemtrails or something.
Something weird.
Okay, thanks, George.
Okay, my friend. Welcome to the program. Wildcard Line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing today? This is Lyle from San Diego.
Hi, Lyle.
Hey, I was just calling. I heard you talk about the staph infection, and I'm 42 years old and never had any kind of infections whatsoever. And 2 months ago, I got this staph infection in my eye.
Oh, my. In your eye?
And the weird thing is, it was horribly, horribly painful. But the weird thing was, the doctors wouldn't tell me anything. I asked them question after question. I have a medical pre-med background.
Where might you have gotten it? Were you in a hospital? You think you may have gotten it there?
No, I actually was not. I'm a locksmith, and I work, you know, and
okay.
It just showed up one day. It was at the VA hospital. I kept asking them, what's up? What is this? What is it? And they kept giving me all these different weird answers and stuff, and they had this funny look in their eyes, you know how you can read people. And hello?
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Oh yeah. And they said oh no, it's just a staph infection, you know, but they were flipping through the menu of stuff, and I never read. I can read really fast, and the screens were popping by, and I didn't see anything saying staph.
No, so there's something. I guarantee you this will be a major story. You're hearing it here on Coast to Coast. We've been talking about it for a couple days as we pick up steam. It's going to be a big story, and maybe Matt Drudge will pick up on it. Once Matt does, the rest of the world seems to follow through with something like that. And let's see where this takes us. A doctor friend of mine, while I was in St. Louis, we were out having dinner. He was telling me, George, he said, this is a big story, and nobody's doing anything about it, and it's happening. Now, most of it was happening in hospitals. People would come in with their own little illnesses and end up getting this staph infection, some of whom would die from this thing. So keep your eyes on it, your ears wide open. And we'll monitor this thing, and we will do a program on it because it is a big, dangerous story. I'll be back. Open lines continue for this entire hour on Coast to Coast AM. Well, at the top of the hour, the hunt for the Skinwalker. with our guest, Colm Kelleher, PhD. I just think the world of Colm. And also investigative reporter George Knapp. George Knapp's work is fantastic. I've been a fan of his work for a number of years. So I'm looking forward to talking with both of them in about 30 minutes here on Coast to Coast AM. They are selling out the January issue of the Predictions After Dark newsletter edition. They reprinted a couple thousand more. They've got about 1,400 left. With that edition, you also get a free CD, the Art Bell interview with the late Father Malachi Martin on exorcisms. You can call 1-888-727-5505. That's a 24/7 toll-free number. 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online at Coast2TO, coasttocoastam.com. And also talking about predictions, January 12th, this Thursday night. If you want to go to predictions.tv, that's www.predictions.tv, or www.indemand.com. You can get information from your cable company on the Predictions program. My first television show. We're very proud of how that turned out, even though I always think I can do a little better, but the producers thought it was a pretty good job. So take a look at that if you want. It will be available in Canada in February. This is just for the United States right now. It is not available on satellite at this time, but they tell me they will make DVDs available soon at the same price as the pay-per-view. So we'll be back in a moment. And back to the phones we go. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Adam from Chicago.
Hello, Adam in Chicago, listening on WLS, no doubt.
Of course. Your show's great. And
you know, we've added that extra last hour there, so we'll make sure you know that.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. I have a friend that that told me she had a dream last night, and she was a little bit freaked out about it. And I've been hearing stories also and reading in the newspaper about people having and seeing stories on TV about people having dreams of the end of the world or, you know.
Is that what she's dreaming about?
Dreams, yeah. She's not one to really read the Bible that much, and she said first she saw herself as a dragon, and I guess she went to go hurt somebody, and she seen a red moon and the sun crashing into the earth, or the moon crashing into the earth, great big waves of water, and she never really read the Bible before, and I kind of told her, you know, that's weird how you would think of a red moon, and in the Bible, the end of days, it says there'll be a red moon as red as blood, and the sun will become as black as sackcloth.
Well, that's true, and what bothers me about this particular dream, Adam, is, of course, this rhetoric in all this discussion about Iran and what's going on there, because I truly believe if something happens, that it could be the beginning of something bad. I'm a little concerned, and I'll tell you why. They seem to be broadcasting, Iran is, every move they make in terms of what they're doing in their nuclear capability. And that sounds strange to me. You know, they're either very forthright in what they're saying, and I don't think they are, or they are doing something very sinister, and I think that's what they might be doing, and that concerns me. They may already have this horrible weapon. That's my take. We'll see what happens on that. Let's go next to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Chris from Chicago calling.
Hi, Chris. Another Chicago call.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised how many people calling about this mysterious red dust that fell from the sky on the north side of Chicago.
Yeah, what are they saying about it in your neck of the woods?
You know, actually, I only caught one official mainstream news broadcast about it. Everything else I heard was, you know, you mentioned it, or people calling in mentioning it today. But basically what it was a light dusting of a red powder on the surface of everyone's car when they woke up. I guess it was yesterday morning, not this morning, because it was raining today, so it would have been washed away before anyone got out there. But apparently a lot of people in the news seem to be treating it as if they thought it was some sort of a terrorist attack, like they thought someone had dispersed powder over the city or God knows what had happened.
Well, and, always something you have to check into nowadays.
Well, definitely it's... Even it could be totally benign, or who knows what it could be. You know, you never know. With the kids going out in the morning and business people going out, that's when they seem to want to hit somebody. So everyone seems to be a little more paranoid or aware, whatever you want to call it.
Could have come from some plant in the area or something, some manufacturing plant. Have they had it analyzed yet?
They did have it analyzed, and they said that it was, I believe they said it was a rust particles.
Rust particles.
Over such a wide area, it's really hard to believe that they could do that, seeing how most of the weather in Chicago blows in pretty much stiffly from the straight west. And that's like, you know, you go outside over Cook County, you have some stuff right there just west of the city. But once you get maybe 5-10 miles out, it's pretty much suburban, clean suburban areas and then farms further out.
Okay, how about this? A Martian meteorite blew up over the planet. And that's what it was.
Maybe it came in a straight stream straight down from Texas, and some of it was deposited down there, and we're just not catching the reports of the rest of the stuff.
That could be. I happen to think that what happened to you in Chicago and what happened in Texas are somewhat related. I mean, what are the odds over the last couple of days of a reddish-orange tint, not only on your cars but in the water in Texas occurring? No, they're tied together. There are no coincidences. Remember that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Nancy from Sunnyvale, California.
Hi, Nancy.
I wanted to talk about the staph infections.
Yeah. What's up?
Well, I don't believe that it's a new episode because I experienced it back in 1947, and I've had it recurring. And I've had my third amputation on my leg because of it.
No, wait a minute. You, how could you have three amputations on your leg? They just kept going higher and higher?
Yeah, the first one was the toes, and then it was at the ankle, and then just recently below the knee.
Oh, my.
And like that other fellow said, the antibiotic is so corrosive, it has to be put through...
intravenously.
Well, it's not intravenous. They put a tube up your vein into the heart.
Oh, my.
Because it eats away the vein.
Well, and it's they're trying to protect your heart, I guess, as much as they
can. Well, it would be diluted.
So it sounds to me, Nancy, you still have this infection after all these years, 50-some years.
Right.
My God. Well, what's next for you?
Just don't get any sores.
My God, I can't keep taking away your leg, you know? Are you okay otherwise?
Oh, yes. Good health.
All right. I guess confined to a wheelchair or what?
No, I have an artificial limb. And then if I want to go any distance, I have a scooter.
Now, with your artificial limb, I mean, did you have that when they first did the first operation?
Well, no. They took the toes off.
All right. So
and
that,
part of the toe bones up into the foot.
And what about the second one?
At the ankle.
So
the artificial leg fit like a boot.
Okay. And then when they cut a little higher...
Right.
Did you have to get another artificial leg, or did you use the same one?
Oh, no. I have to be fitted for a new one. It's below the knee, it's just a little bit different.
Let's see. You get used to it.
Right.
At least you get around. That's the important thing. Okay, Nancy. Stay healthy.
Thank you.
Okay. Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to our... East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello. Goodbye. International line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi there, George.
Yeah.
Great to talk to you. My name's James. I'm calling you from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
James Bond, no doubt.
Well, only on Saturdays.
Only on Saturdays. What's going on, James?
Somebody called in asking about the Toad story.
Yeah.
In this month's issue of Discovery Year in Science, number 99 was crows eating toads' livers.
That was one of the theories. You are correct. Is that what and they say they think is indeed the case?
The toads were puffing themselves up in defense, and the crows would lightning strike and eat the liver.
Straight for the liver.
Straight for the livers. And it was originally localized to the one pond of death, but it later crossed the border, I think they said, into Denmark.
So when they puffed themselves up in the defense of the crows, some of them puffed themselves up too much.
Right? No, they would, while they were defending themselves by being puffed up, that's when the crow would come in, get the liver, and it would rupture the lungs.
Oh,
in the toad, and it would go pop.
All right. But I haven't heard too much about it anymore. It's got to be still occurring.
Sure, it is. But they know why now.
That is a strange story.
They said it climbed to 1,000 in the space of just a few days in Denmark, soon after, I guess, these crows that suddenly got the taste for toad livers.
Well, and this was last summer. We could be into the thousands now.
They say in Hamburg, which is not far away, 2 years ago, a flock of crows attacked joggers.
And went for their livers?
No. Not went for the livers, but like there was like they got attacked by a roaming gang of crows.
Sounds like Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds are about to begin. Maybe something is happening on this planet where even birds are starting to get a little wacky. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir. Welcome to the program.
How are you?
Good.
My name's Adam.
Hello, Adam.
I've heard callers call in and talk with you about the number 11 series. Mine is 311.
311. You see that all the time? No, I see 11. As a matter of fact, the stock market is now beginning to haunt me with 11s. But you see 311 everywhere?
Not so much everywhere, more so on like digital clocks, license plates, mailboxes, billboards. And it was around the same time of 9/11.
And I bet it shows up in the corner of your computer. You just put your head up and there it is.
No, but I can wake up out of a dead sleep at 3:11 in the morning and it'll be...
That's weird. That's weird. And all is well with you? Is this nothing bad's been happening?
No, not at all. It just, at the time that it was occurring, it was kind of freakish, you know, because it was happening 5 times a day.
Oh, yeah.
It
drives you nuts after a while. You don't understand why it's happening all the time. Thanks, Adam. Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. Your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi, this is Ed calling from Michigan. I just wanted to share with you an experience that I had as a child, and I don't know whether it would have been an out-of-body experience or maybe a near-death experience.
Well, what happened to you?
Well, as a child, I was very ill and wasn't really discovered what was wrong with me until I was 5 years old. And I was pretty much real infected, and doctors didn't think that I would survive. But I went through an experience where I had collapsed and went on the floor. I could see myself and see my surroundings. And, you know, was aware of what was going on around me, but was unable to communicate or do anything with, you know, just see myself laying there.
It's very possible that it could have been one of both. I mean, you are correct. It could have been an out-of-body experience. It also could have been a near-death experience, especially if you were that sickly. You never know. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. It's all yours.
Yeah, George, this is Stephen Greer. Calling from Midland, Texas.
Not the Stephen Greer, because I know his voice.
Stephen Greer. The only reason I use the name is because I know it's a famous name. And this is my first time to call. And I called the other night and didn't get through because you were talking to the Antichrist.
Yes, we were talking to him, and I'm not sure it was the Antichrist.
He's a hard act to follow.
But it was kind of weird.
What I wanted to call and talk to you tonight about, I was looking at a picture of a black hole and kind of had a hypothesis about it. A lot of people say that black holes are the reason that they're black is such a dense area that matter is crushed down and to really small particles. But I was looking at the black hole, and I had a hypothesis that the reason it's black is things are accelerated in the black hole. And the speed is greater than the speed of light. That's why it's dark.
And do you think they possibly could be portals, perhaps to other dimensions?
That's my hypothesis, is basically when you get in that area, if you look at the picture showed, is basically stars and gases and everything, and it went in to the black hole, light stopped, and it was just a black hole. But what I think is that at that point, as it went in, all the matter that went in there, once it got to the black hole, was accelerated and spewed out into another dimension or galaxy.
You may be right. Or universe.
Or universe.
Could be. Could be right there. Thanks. Good theory, too. By the way, I think Michio Kaku is going to be a guest in the not-too-distant future, and that'll be fascinating to talk with him about this. Of course, you know, he is a strong believer in string theory, but it's always fun to talk to him because things change in the world of science so often. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yes, sir. A couple minutes for you. What's left?
Not much. I was just going to tell you the story about the toads, but I already got it for you. So I had another story for you that my friend emailed me.
What is it?
Well, have you heard about, like, animals and cats and specifically, you know, like, getting stolen and stuff and thrown in bags and getting taken away 400 miles away and they find their way home?
Oh, yeah. I sure have. Now, I didn't hear about the stolen part of it, but these animals do have an uncanny knack to find their ways home. I don't know how. It's like a homing pigeons, but they are. They're incredible.
Yeah, well, I had the theory for you. My friend emails me all the time with weird stuff like that. And I don't remember the website, but if I find it, I'll fast blast you. But what it is I guess, you know, the magnetite in birds' brains and stuff that helps them navigate?
Right.
Well, they think what it is the Earth is laid out with a magnetic net.
Yeah,
and the magnetite is actually in the cat's ankle.
Huh.
And it can feel the magnetic net.
And the closer it gets to wherever its origin is, maybe the different the feel it gets?
Yeah, because like they were also saying too, like they have a weird thing for like if cats go crazy, if they don't feel safe in this place, you know? And it's usually in places where like buildings collapse and stuff, houses.
Right. Well, you know, I've sometimes thought that they had like GPS tracking devices in their system somehow.
Yeah, sometimes you wonder.
Well, no doubt about that either. If you need to email me at any time, like he is going to, as opposed to a fast blast, just send it to George at coasttocoastam.com. It's that simple. When we come back, of course, we've got two guests for you tonight, Colm Kelleher, Ph.D., and investigative reporter George Knapp. We're going to be talking about a very strange story at a remote ranch in Utah. This is, I'm telling you, I've heard a lot of stories that are weird before. This is one of the strange ones. And George Knapp, by the way, has had a tremendous history of investigating the very unusual. He's been awarded a number of accolades for his work. And he was an eyewitness, along with Colm Kelleher, to some of the things that happened at this remote ranch. So they're up next. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.